everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. We're glad you've joined us today for a teaching edition of Basic Gospel, as we do on these Friday editions. So for today, the phone lines into the live program are not open. Still, if you have a question or if there's something you'd like us to discuss, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, and we'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. But for today, it's a teaching edition of Basic Gospel, and here to get us underway is Bob Christopher.
Well, Richard, I'm excited today. We're starting a brand new teaching series. I've titled this The Power of Eight, and it's the eight essential truths every Christian should know, needs to know. Mm-hmm. If you're not solid in these eight truths, you're going to struggle in your Christian life. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And when you look out there on the Christian landscape today, you realize that this is what's missing. We're not really sure of what we believe or why we believe it. We know there's a man named Jesus. We know he lived 2,000 years ago, and he did something for us. But we're not exactly sure all of the details. Mm-hmm. Well, it's when we get sure on those details and really know what we believe that Christianity really starts to make sense, and we see the practical implications of it in our day-to-day living. It changes us from the inside out. Now, the most basic of truths is Jesus. Who is Jesus Christ? That has been the most compelling question for the last 2,000 years. When he showed up on the scene, he caused quite a stir. People were wondering, is this the Messiah? Is this just another prophet? Who is this guy named Jesus? And Jesus took his disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi, and he asked them that question. What are people saying about me? I mean, what's the buzz around the water coolers? And so they gave some answers, and then he turned the question on them, and he said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that question still lingers. Mm-hmm. It's the most compelling question that's ever been asked. It's the question that all of us are going to be asked at some point, and we need an answer. And so we start off in this series, The Power of Eight, with that question, who is Jesus Christ? Now, we read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know John is talking about Jesus Christ, and so he gives us some insight as to who this Jesus is. He is the Word, he was in the beginning with God, and he, in fact, is God. Yeah. So John gives us that clue that Jesus, although he was fully human, he's fully God. And that's what we want to talk about today, the fact that Jesus is fully God. And we're going to ask the question, did he ever make that claim? Did he ever say about himself, I am God? Did he use those exact words? Now, you can scour the pages of the New Testament, and you're not going to see Jesus ever saying, hey, by the way, folks, I am God. But he did make the claim, and he made it in ways that his hearers would understand. And so today we're going to look at four specific passages where Jesus makes the claim that he is God in human flesh. And our first one is in John 10:30. And this is a great passage, a very short, concise statement. And Richard, he says, I and the Father are one. Now, this is in context of some other claims that he made. Yes. I am the gate, I am the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that, you know, his sheep hear his voice and they follow, and he gives them eternal life, and they're in his hands, and no one can snatch them out of his hands, and they're in the Father's hands, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hands. And then he makes this statement, I and the Father are one. So what exactly was he saying there? What was he communicating to his listeners of that day?
If you want salvation, the only possibility of it is me. Because I and the Father are one, right? Only God can give you salvation. But you're looking at me, and I'm telling you, if you accept me, no one will ever be able to snatch you out of my hands. Therefore, I and the Father are one and the same. One and the same.
Yes.
He gives salvation, I give salvation. That's a pretty powerful statement.
That's a really powerful statement, and it's very short, to the point, mm-hmm. concise. And in those several words, he claimed equality with the Father.
Yeah.
And that's huge. Now, it didn't go without a rebuttal. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. So they heard the statement. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying, and they accused him of blasphemy mm-hmm. because he, a mere man, was making himself out to be God.
And they were absolutely right.
Yes.
If he was just a mere man.
If he was just a mere man.
So this isn't a claim we're making about Jesus. His detractors heard the claim directly, understood it directly, and said, this can't be true.
Right.
We're not going to accept it.
Yeah. It was out of his lips.
Yes.
So they were basing their accusation, basing their judgment on his very words.
Mm-hmm.
So they picked up stones to stone him. Now, why in the world would they do such a thing? I mean, why would they judge somebody so harshly and want to kill him, want to execute him, punish him for those words? And we go all the way back to the book of Leviticus, and we read this in chapter 24, verse 16. It says, anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be stoned to death by the whole community of Israel.
Yeah.
So they listened to what Jesus said. They knew that he was making himself out to be God, although he was merely, in their eyes, merely a man. And so they went back to the law, and they said, here's what the law says for us to do. So they picked up stones to execute the sentence of the law.
Yeah.
So they were just following what the Mosaic covenant was telling them to do. But it gives us a clear indication that they heard Jesus loud and clear,
mm-hmm.
that his words, that he and the Father are one, was a claim out of his very mouth that he was equal with God, and indeed God in human flesh.
Yeah, and remember, Jesus had told them just a little bit before this, look, you guys place your faith in Moses, and Moses talked about me. And so I am prophesied within the law. So, in fact, I am not blaspheming. I am who the law pointed to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We're looking at 8 essential truths that every Christian needs to know. We've titled this series, The Power of 8. We're going to be dealing with these 8 essential truths over the next 16 weeks. It's going to be a fantastic study. We have a series, a CD series by the same name, The Power of 8. That's available on our store, our online store. This is a series that's been changing lives for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
When people finally come to grips with all that Christ has done for them, all that Christ is, all that Christ has done for them through his death, burial, and resurrection, their lives change.
Yeah.
This is where they get anchored and can really know that they know that they know that God loves them, and that love has been demonstrated for them in the person of Jesus Christ, and that they can never be separated from that love ever. So this is a powerful series, and we encourage you to pick it up. It's called The Power of 8, but these are the 8 essential truths that every Christian needs to know. Richard, let's get right back at it. Our next verse that we want to look at comes out of the book of John as well. It's John 8:58. And Jesus is having one of those contentious conversations with the Pharisees. They're going back and forth. And at the end, toward the end of this conversation, he makes this outlandish statement. And if I'm sitting there listening, I'm going to say, what in the world is he talking about? But here's the statement. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Jesus came on the scene. Mm-hmm. So there was a 2,000-year period. And yet here Jesus is saying, I was before Abraham, and here's who I am. I am. Yeah. Now, why is that significant? What in the world is Jesus claiming about himself in this bold, scandalous statement?
Well, it's the way God identified himself to people in the Old Testament, and particularly to Moses. In Exodus 3:14, you know, Moses says, well, who should I say to the people that sent me? I mean, why would they believe me? And he said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So God himself defined himself as I am, the ever-present one. And this word that's translated I am in a truly Jewish context would never be pronounced. It's that holy.
Right, sacred.
We see it as the word Yahweh or what's the other word for it? There's two, but I forgot the second one. But Yahweh. This is God himself, ever-present. There's no past, no future. He's always here. And Jesus applies that same description to himself.
Yeah. He basically claims the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hey, you're looking at him. You know, the guy who sent Moses to deliver you out of bondage?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm that guy.
Yeah. The guy who came to Abraham and promised me?
Yes.
I'm that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So he says, I am. And the Jews heard him loud and clear, and what did they do? They picked up stones to throw at him.
Yeah.
Why would they do such a thing? Because they believed he was speaking blasphemy,
mm-hmm.
and he deserved to be condemned to death and stoned to death according to the book of the law. So they picked up stones to throw at him. So the Jews, those Pharisees, those religious leaders, they heard Jesus loud and clear.
Yes.
No, he didn't say, I am God, in those exact words, but this is powerful.
In their words, he did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So our next passage is out of the book of Mark, and this is one of my favorite passages in the Gospels. I just love this story, and it's the story of the friends who brought the paralytic to see Jesus. So Jesus is speaking. It's in Capernaum, and he's in this house, and there's so many people packed in this house that when these friends showed up with their paralytic friend on his mat, they couldn't get in. I mean, they couldn't squeeze themselves in to see Jesus. So they're not to be denied, and they go up on the roof, and they tear out a hole through the thatch in the roof, and they bring their friend up there, and they lower him down. I mean, it was quite the engineering feat.
Yeah.
But they were so committed to putting their friend in front of Jesus that they went to all means possible to make that happen. And so they lowered him down. And when they lowered him down, Jesus looked at him, and this is what he said. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, the paralytic was there to be healed. He wanted to get out off that mat and walk. But Jesus looked at him and said, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, why in the world would Jesus say that when healing was the obvious thing that was needed?
He's not just interested in people's physical well-being, although that is completely true. He was more interested about the spiritual condition in this man's heart. This guy was suffering from something to do with his past sins, guilt, shame, whatever it was. And Jesus, seeing his friend's faith, says to this guy, who at the time had no faith, right?
Yes.
Maybe he'll heal me, but I don't deserve it. He says, your sins are forgiven. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is something that none of us have ever been able to do. I mean, I can tell you your sins are forgiven in Christ, but I cannot tell you your sins are forgiven. I can't forgive you of the kind of sin that causes death.
Right.
Jesus is claiming that authority. Your sins caused your spiritual death. I can fix that.
That's right. So it's a huge claim.
Yeah.
So he claimed, as you said, to have authority to forgive sins. Now, the Jewish leaders who were there, and they were always there spying on this Jesus, you know, they wanted to see what was happening and be able to strategize on what they needed to do to suppress this movement that was happening right before their eyes. And so they heard what he said, my son, your sins are forgiven. And he says, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Here's that word again.
Yeah.
Who can forgive sins but God alone? So they knew what Jesus was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a mystery. It wasn't a riddle. It wasn't something that he was trying to hide from them. They knew exactly what he was saying. They knew he was claiming to have authority to forgive sins. And if he had authority to forgive sins, he was equal to God the Father.
That's exactly what the law explained.
Yes.
No priest could say to the people, you are forgiven, but they could accept the sacrifice. They could mediate on behalf of the person. God is the only one who forgave Israel individually or as a people.
Right. And so they, you know, picked up the stones. Again, that was just
their only response.
That's exactly right. Well, that's the only thing the law directed them to do. And so they were trying to follow what the law said. But they knew, they heard him loud and clear concerning his claim to be equal with the Father. So we've seen three things already, that he and the Father are one. So if they're in his hands, if the sheep are in his hands, they're going to be secure forever. Why? Because it's just like being in God the Father's hands.
Yes.
And no one can snatch them from the Father's hands. He said that before Abraham was, I am. He claimed to exist before all of this ever came into being, that he had the very same name as God the Father. So, again, equality, a man in human flesh that these people saw and they beheld and they touched and all of those things. This guy, born in Nazareth, of all places, was standing in front of us making outlandish claims that he and the Father are one, that he has the same name as God the Father. And they're just outraged at what he's saying. And they want to judge him. They want to condemn him. They want to execute him. And so they continually pick up stones to stone him. And then here we see that he has the authority to forgive sins, that he's claimed that authority. So three different ways that we've already seen that Jesus did say very loud, very clearly, that he is God. He's more than a mere man. He is fully man and fully God. Now, we're going to look at one more passage, and this is at his trial, right before he's crucified, and he's standing before Caiaphas, the high priest, and they're trying to trump up charges. But before we look at this, I want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We have a wonderful team of people that bring this program to you, our listeners, each and every day. If you would like to be a part of that team, if you would like to say, hey, I want to join the Basic Gospel financial team, there is an opportunity for you to do that. It's on our website. Go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and just follow the instructions. There's a place where you can put a little note and say, hey, I want to be a part of the Basic Gospel financial team. We would love to partner with you in this wonderful ministry of lifting up the person and work of Jesus Christ. When he's lifted up, he will draw people to himself. That's what he's been doing for 2,000 years. we have this wonderful privilege to watch him do it through this radio broadcast, through this ministry called Basic Gospel. So come join the Basic Gospel team, and let's expand the borders of Basic Gospel Nation to as many people as God sees fit for us to reach.
Indeed.
Well, back to our study. Richard Pfeiffer is here. I'm Bob Christopher. Glad you have joined us. This coming to grips with who Jesus is, I think, is the most important thing that we can do as believers. Peter answered Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" with these words, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's not just a question that we should ask and answer from an apologetic standpoint, but it's something that we should ask and answer almost daily in our lives. In any situation, do I believe that Jesus is God? Do I truly believe that he is who he claimed to be? And if so, then I'm going to relax in his presence, knowing that he's bigger than whatever problem I am facing. And I know that he can work it together for my good, and I'm going to trust him to do it. So yeah. This is an important truth to our faith. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. So we need to know who this Jesus is. Well, when he's standing before Caiaphas, Caiaphas asked this question, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Now, this is a reference back to the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. And it's saying that he's going to come in judgment over the people.
Yeah.
So that's something that was reserved for God. And yet Jesus is saying, that's my bailiwick. That's what I've been given authority to do. And here was the response of Caiaphas to the Sanhedrin, to the leadership, and said, "You have heard his blasphemy." Again, here's that word. "What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. Mm-hmm. Anyone that blasphemes the name of the Lord, according to Leviticus, they should be stoned to death by the entire community. So they were just bringing the law forward to this point in time. Of course, as you said, they missed everything in the law that talked about Jesus himself,
yeah.
talking about this prophet that would come like Moses, who would actually have the words of eternal life, talking about the one that would be born to a virgin in Bethlehem, and that the government would be upon his shoulders. They missed all of that.
Yeah.
So they were just looking at the law that says judge and condemn, but they missed Jesus. But why? Because they didn't recognize him for who he was,
yeah.
and who he is today. So Jesus' claims were clear. No, he never said, "I'm God," those words, but he said it in ways that his listeners understood, and they were given the option. You either believe him or you choose to look at him as an imposter. Now, the Pharisees, the leaders, they tabbed him as a liar and an imposter. There are many people that do that today, that tab him as a liar or an imposter. You can't look at him as a great teacher. You can't look at him as this moral guide. Why? Because if his words about himself aren't true, then he is nothing more than a liar or an imposter or a crazed man. Those are the options. So who is Jesus? Well, he is God. Why does this matter to us? Because he came to reveal God the Father to us. And when we look in the face of Jesus, we see the glory of God. We see that God is love. We see that God is for us, not against us. And we see that in him, we can have life everlasting. Well, thank you for being a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. We'll be back next Friday for the second part of our look at Jesus Christ. We hope you'll join us for that. We'll be back on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. So have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. Now, for the entire ministry team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.